It is our pleasure to introduce you to Linja Heitzig. She is the founder of an organization called Reload Love. And what they do is they go into places impacted by war and by terrorism, and they replace the hate and the fear with love and hope. You are going to get so much out of today's episode. So here we go. Hey, Clay Schroff with Voice of a Lion, and Lynn, we have known Linja for...
Oh, my goodness.
A long time.
30 years?
At least 30 years. It has to be.
And this is the first time we've had you on, and yet we've partnered with you in so many different ways, and we're so excited just to really talk about where you're going, what you're doing, and the amazing things that you're... The last time I saw you, you had a... flak vest on and a helmet surrounded by so many people, and you were in Israel.
So
tell us about that, because when I went on your Instagram, I saw you guys were taking cover.
Yes. Okay. So first of all, it's an honor to be here. And you guys are a dynamic duo. Not just that, your entire family, every one of your kids are incredible.
Thanks.
I mean, they're all serving the, you know, at whatever age. So it's an incredible testimony that life can be lived as a family of God triumphantly and can light up the world. And so I'm just grateful to be here with you guys, because I'm fan Schroff.
Wow. You
know, I'm happily fan Schroff. So Israel, that's the last time you saw me.
Yes.
We were invited by Joel Rosenberg of the Joshua Fund. Skip sits on the board of one of Joel's entities over there in Israel.
And that's a philanthropical organization.
Yeah, they try and help in the Middle East. I mean, they, Israel and her neighbors, of trying to help out in a myriad of ways, whether it's evangelism, encouraging the churches, or helping with... They work with women who are in abortions, trying to do right-to-life type things. They do counseling. They support different churches throughout the countries. And so it's a phenomenal ministry, Joshua Fund. But so anyway, we're invited by them. And obviously, with the war that started on October 7th, it's like saying 9/11 for us.
Oh,
you know, when you say October 7th for Israel, it now has a marker of before and after.
That's right.
October 7th. And, you know, going, I think that Israel as a country, it was so unusual. I've been to Israel about 40 times, right? We've been as tourists, as taking teams from the church, and the nation felt different. The nation, you know how after 9/11, it was our country was grieving, our country was angry. Our country felt like we got caught with our pants down. How did we not know? How did we not think that people could use planes as missiles? And so I feel that that's what was going on with Israel. As a nation, they were grieving that this horrific thing had happened to their country. And then number two, they were embarrassed. You know, Israel has always been known for Mossad and their ability to spy, sleuth, find out what's happening in the region and be so ahead of it, that I think they were just shocked that they were caught.
So off guard.
Yes.
Yep.
And there is shame in that. Like, how did we not know? And so, and then a little bit angry. You know, I felt like, as one voice, no matter who we visited, we went to Sderot, which was one of the cities that was hit the hardest in the south. We went to Kfar Aza, which was one of the kibbutz that had been hit. And then we were in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, different places. Every citizen that we met with one voice were like, never again. We are done. We have been pummeled by missiles and rockets for decades from Hezbollah and Hamas. Never again. We want to go in and we want to completely eradicate Hamas. Not one left. And I'm a cancer survivor. You guys have known me with that. And when I was there and talking to the people, because there's such a Palestinian sympathy in the United States that is, you know, from the river to the sea, we're going to knock Israel out, which is just utterly ridiculous. Yeah. It's never happening.
Yeah.
But there is this one voice of the people that no more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want our army to come home until it's done.
Yeah. Mm.
Until Hamas is gone.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that's how we felt after 9/11. I don't know who did this, but whoever did this, never again.
That's right.
Mm. You know, and you remember President
W.
Bush,
yes.
When he goes, wherever you are, mm-hmm. you know, we're coming come after you, when mm-hmm. he was at Ground Zero. And so no matter who you met, the citizens were very much of that mind that, okay, we've let you lob rockets at us mm-hmm. for decades. We have tolerated so much, you know, whether it was suicide bombers, right. you know, then they built the wall
right.
to keep people out. And that was successful. Suicide bombers weren't getting through. And, right. you know, bus bombings weren't happening like they had been. And now they're like, we're done. No more rockets. This yeah. is it. This is our, you know, yeah. we're taking this hill and we're not giving it back. I don't know what the solution is,
yeah.
but they are not willing to accept anything. So back to the cancer. When you have cancer, you don't compromise with cancer.
Right.
You don't negotiate no. with yeah. cancer.
Yeah.
When the doctor says to me, you got cancer, I'm
said,
like,
get it out.
Nuke
that's
it.
Right. Do what I you got to do.
I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. I'll do. I'll take the pill. I'll take the IV. I'll mm-hmm. radiate me. Do whatever it is. Obliterate. I don't that's want right. one cell of cancer left in my body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm studying right now. I'm going to look a little teary. I'm studying Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
And Gideon is meeting the Midianites. Mm-hmm. And the Midianites had been captured, killed. They were not annihilated 200 years prior mm-hmm. when they were coming in with Joshua. Some of them stayed behind. Mm. Probably a ragtag, sad, sorry group of Midianites. Mm-hmm. 200 years later, mm. they have evolved into, it says, like locusts.
Mm-hmm.
They would come into the land and they would
level it.
Everything.
Yeah.
They would take all the crops, not even leaving a goat, a lamb, a donkey, right. nothing. And it was for 7 years.
Wow.
7 years Israel tolerated a raiding host
wow.
to come in so that they're hiding in caves and in
wine presses.
Yes, yeah. wine presses. Mm-hmm. And so it just. What I was writing yesterday about that is you cannot compromise with
no.
sin.
No. Mm.
And the enemies in our lives that we don't conquer will eventually conquer
that's right.
us. And so that happened in Israel during Gideon's day.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see in Israel today, whether you want to call it Gaza, the West Bank, Palestine, whatever you want to call it,
that's right.
they have allowed those enemies to foment and fester.
That's right.
And that's what happened on October 7th.
Political right. compromise because
it
is. The world was looking, so they compromised
yeah.
and let their guard down.
Yeah, and then that gets into the whole discussion, is there a two-state solution, and what do you do? And,
yeah.
And I don't have the answers for this. Have you guys watched the movie Golda yet?
No. Have not.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Put it on the top of Golda? Your list. Go home tonight. It's the movie of Golda Meir,
mm-hmm.
and just the nation, when it first became a nation, mm-hmm. trying to survive with enemies all around it, mm-hmm. it's identical today. There wow. are enemies all around Israel. You know, they're the only
that's
democracy.
True.
They're mm-hmm. the only non-Arab country, Muslim country in the region, and that tiny little sliver of land is fighting for survival and has fought for survival since its inception. Yeah. And so Golda is in office when they have just mm. become a nation. They barely have an army. And the Arabs are coming in from all around to conquer them. And there's a quote. It's a Golda Meir quote. And it's true today. When our enemies love their children more than they hate our children, we'll have peace.
Mm.
And so in Gaza so to good. This, it's a epic quote.
So good.
It is.
If they would just love their children enough yeah. to teach their children peace.
That's right.
Because Israel really does want peace. You know, yeah. Michelle, you and said, are there any Israeli Palestinian hostages? No.
None.
Because they don't yeah. take hostages. Mm-mm. They don't hate and go in to kill innocents, civilians,
right.
women, and children. They just want to survive.
That's right. And I heard a quote also, and I'm paraphrasing, and it was basically, if Israel surrenders, they will be annihilated. Hamas will not stop.
Yeah.
But if Hamas stops, the war is over.
Yes. Mm. And it's been that case since Golda Meir, yeah. And even prior to that.
Yeah.
And so,
because we're speaking of a terrorist organization.
Yeah, you'll see videos that preschools, kindergartens in Gaza, they take their children and give them teddy bears and teach them how to gut and behead a teddy bear, and it sympathize that that's a Jew. Yeah. You know, who does that?
Yeah.
Who does that to a child?
To children?
Anywhere.
Well, yeah, it's...
To teach a child...
Indoctrination.
It's indoctrination, yes. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you programming. Guys, because you're foster parents, adoptive mm-hmm. parents, birth parents, mm-hmm. you know the psyche
power.
Of a child.
That's
and
right.
the power of what you program
yes.
into a human being.
Yes.
And so it's just the saddest thing.
It is.
And I do want to say this, having been in Israel. We all say it's Hamas, mm-hmm. you know, oh, that horrible Hamas, they're mm-hmm. bad actors from Iran, and they've been funding them, and mm-hmm. it's these, you know, terrorists, this radical group. Mm-hmm. But Gaza, the Gazans, the Palestinians voted Hamas in.
Mm.
This is people, they invited the devil into their mm-hmm. den, right? Yes, we want you to rule us.
Yeah.
You know, it's back to Israel. Can we have a king?
Yeah.
You know, we'd Saul. Like a king. Let's make Hamas king.
Yeah.
Who does that? First of all, who even decides that that's who they want to have rule right. over them? So they have elected, yeah. fairly elected Hamas to rule over them. Let's ask ourselves.
I did not know that.
Is your life any better now?
No,
Palestine,
absolutely. I'm
having
sure
voted
not.
Hamas in, is their life better? No. They have received billions of dollars mm-hmm. from the Arab world around it, mm-hmm. from Iran and the Arab world. What have they done with it? Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful slice of land on the Mediterranean mm-hmm. that could be, you know, like a Monte Carlo, yeah, like a beautiful yeah. resort spot that Lebanon used to be. If you look at pictures of Lebanon mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. 60s and 70s, it was swanky, man.
Yeah.
They were dressed up. They had nightclubs. Mm-hmm. There was gambling. There were modern things happening. And Lebanon is a joke.
Yeah.
No one says, gee, I'd like to go vacation in Lebanon.
Yeah.
There's nobody going there. You could be like a Qatar. You could be like a Dubai,
yeah.
And all the billions of dollars that have been thrown into Gaza, they have built tunnels and bombs and missiles and put them under schools and hospitals. This is how Hamas has spent their money.
Wow.
They've even ripped up their own plumbing and sewage system to take the pipes to make bombs. They're not making their world better for the Gazans.
No.
They don't have good potable water and sewage because they'll actually rip it up to turn it into
a bomb.
A bomb.
Yeah.
So they voted for Hamas.
That.
They have supported Hamas. So we can say it's Hamas that came across the border
yeah.
into Sderot, into Kfar Aza.
They were given power.
They were given power. It was them. But one of the saddest things... We got to tour that kibbutz,
mm-hmm.
and they left it pretty much as it was. Mm. The bodies had been cleared out, and I think they'd begun cleaning up the blood. But what we're told is within hours after the carnage, the citizens, just the normal citizens mm-hmm. of Gaza, came across to loot and pillage. Okay, so it's one thing you sent in your terrorist army.
Yeah.
But then the people came across and were looting and pillaging
like
with
locusts.
Dead bodies everywhere.
No mercy.
Walking around them. So this is a Palestinian. This is a Gazan. That they are going to be the ones that are going to pillage through war. Now, you've seen pictures of wars, you know, from Hitler, Russia, whatever, and people do pillage through the dead bodies of the soldiers. Mm. But again... There is such a mentality, such a brainwashing of this entire culture.
Such a hatred of.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can get rid of Hamas, but can you get rid of the toxicity that is embedded in the culture that's left behind?
Mm. God can.
What? Yeah. Yes, he can. And you guys are good at redeeming. Yeah. You've redeemed children from crises.
Well, and I think too that, you know, I heard a message a while back and it was talking about, you know, just even pornography or, you know, like you were talking about the children being programmed. It's amazing how God did create our brain, that it can be rewired. And it can't, there is that neuroplasticity that these children are not a lost cause, that the Lord can heal their little minds. And love overcomes all of that, you know, and it sounds so idealistic. And so, but sadly, it's something that has to happen before peace can happen.
Well, as Christians, we believe light prevails over darkness.
That's right. That's right.
Guaranteed.
That God so loved the world that, you know, in the beginning,
that's right,
he separated light from darkness.
That's right.
You know, that Jesus is the light of the world who came and he does overcome darkness. That's our lives, right?
That's right.
You and I live this to this day with the hope that light overcomes darkness, love conquers evil.
That's right.
And so you're right. That is our great hope. And that's what I do with Reload Love.
That's right.
We are really trying to let children impacted by terror know a love and a light exists that you may not have known of, and to give you just the inkling of a thought that maybe the paradigm you've been taught is not true. So the playgrounds that we've placed all over.
That's Reload Love.
Yeah. Reload Love has been.
And how do you raise funds for that?
50 playgrounds. Oh, so you can go to reloadlove.com. You can buy our jewelry and you can donate. And we have an.
And you guys have amazing merch. Amazing.
Let's talk about that though, because Reload Love itself, I had an opportunity and I got to go to Jordan, and
that's
it's Mafraq,
right,
which is on the border of Syria.
5 clicks.
And you can see it from where we stayed. Yep. I went up on the roof every day and we prayed over Syria. I want to point this out to our listeners and the people who are watching on YouTube. Reload Love prays for the Palestinians and their salvation as much as you pray for Israel.
Yes,
that's right.
It's anyone, everyone. It can change and be accepted by God who loves them.
That's good, Clay.
Yeah. Well, that's why we love you so much and we want to follow you in. At the same time, we also plant our feet when injustice happens, when evil comes against good.
Yeah.
And not that Israel's good, but in this, they're wearing the white hats, folks.
Right.
You don't have people come in and take your children out of your house and my wife, and I'm not even going to go into it because I'll get emotional. And that's wrong. And we stand against that. At the same time, I know you and your team, and when you formulate a team, we were briefed very hard. In fact, you told me that you called me off to the side and said, we are going in peace and in love for all people. And you made sure that my heart was right before you let me go on your team. And I appreciate that. But you guys are doing so much in countries that other people are afraid to even touch down on. I mean, I love this. Mm-hmm. You know, Israel's attacked and there goes Linda.
There
she puts on a flak vest and there she is standing on the ground, you know, getting hauled into shelters. You do it because of the love of the people and not just Israel, but the love of the children and the women and the people who Christ died for. Tell us about Reload Love. What are you planning to do with the Israel? I mean, I don't know. We call, just so our listeners know, we don't prep before this. So I love where conversations go.
Okay, so the common denominator that I came to with Reload Love in my mind as God was spilling his will into my life was bullets and babies don't mix.
That's right.
Can't we just get to a common denominator? Let's reduce it to the irreducible minimum. Can we say to Rwandans, Ugandans, Ukrainians, Russians, Palestinians, Israeli, the Burmese army, the Karen tribes, can we just come to bullets and babies don't mix? Could we agree just on
that? Absolutely. Yeah.
And that there are unintended consequences and children who are victims of terror are victims. That's not their fault. They were born at the wrong place, wrong time, you know, that kind of a thing. Can we just, can
Geography.
we, come on, humanity.
Right.
Can we make one small concession? You know, you'd think the UN could come up with this, but they don't. I just think in Christ, let the children come to me.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
Can't we just let the children come to me? Can there be some safe place that children can run to? Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the irreducible minimum for Reload Love, that bullets and babies don't mix. And even in the United States, you know, we just had another school shooting in Iowa this mm-hmm. last week, yeah. right? And it will be politicized, you know, should we have guns, take them away, yada, yada. The point is bullets and babies don't mix.
That's right.
Let's not politicize anything. Mm-hmm. Let's just say there are some innocents that should be protected.
That's right.
Amen.
And that used to be why we fought wars, to mm-hmm. protect the innocent.
Yeah.
And so now wars are starting to kill the innocent.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's how far as society mm. we have come. So that's why Reload Love began, Bullets and Babies Don't Mix. The idea that the Lord gave me is let's collect spent bullet casings, something that's ugly, harmful. All bullets aren't bad, but let's take beauty out of bullets. Let's make beauty out of bullets. And so make them into brass jewelry and help kids impacted by terror. When the Lord gave me that thought, it wasn't a completely bulleted thought, because when I went, as soon as the Lord put it in my head, I went right to my computer and went, where do you get bullets? You know, I don't know. I did, really, Clay, the first time I shot a gun that I recall was in Burma, in the jungles of Burma. It's not like I'm G.I. Jane. You go, oh, there's Lenny in a flak jacket.
Oh, let me just share you guys. So it's a 50-mile hike to the camp in Burma. So don't let her downplay this. So Dave Eubank, one of my personal heroes that I promise to have on the podcast soon, he's one of my favorite people on earth.
I agree.
Real people.
Not just him, his wife and his children.
Mm-hmm. Children.
It's like yes. the Shra. They are no. a tribe.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
They are a tribe who are warriors for God.
Yeah.
And they have an ethos in their entire tribe that is ingrained
They're
in them.
They're amazing.
Yes.
So, but hang on, though. Lenya goes 50 miles in, and let me just, Miramar, right?
Yeah.
Burma. Is you're not allowed to carry guns and you're not allowed to have this camp. As a matter of fact, when I was going to go, they had an evade and escape and they had to run away from their own government. So this camp is 50 miles and you can't drive there, so you have to hike there. And Linya's telling us that she's not G.I. Jane. Let me tell you, Wonder Woman maybe. G.I. Jane is nothing compared to Lenya Heights.
Okay, well, I sympathize with Malibu Barbie. My alter ego is Malibu Barbie, but G.I. Jane.
Yeah, don't let her fool you, listeners. She may live as Barbie, but she truly is a warrior.
Okay, so it's the alternate. And I love your lion. So the other thing, you know, in Reload Love is Run to the Roar.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So when we were going to go to Myanmar, I digress, Jen and I realized, particularly myself, that I was not equipped to hike 50 miles into the jungle. So we found this guy named Vicente who had training for warriors. That's what he called his workout regime. And so we go, okay, Vicente, get us ready. You know, in 3 months, we're going into Burma. He goes, I don't think I can get you ready in 3 months. He was like special ops.
Yeah. Oh.
He was like SWAT. So he knew what it was to prepare people. And so we would work out 3 or 4 times a week. And, you know, we got as good as we could. And so, but he would always give us these stories, like you would picture a sergeant would, you know, give to the newbies who are coming in. So one of the things was he told us that he wanted us to teach us how to run to the roar. And we're like, what does that mean? Mm. And I'm sure you know the story. So that lions hunt in packs. The males don't hunt. The females do hunt. The females go downfield of some innocent ibex or gazelles, and they're going to come toward them. The male has one job, to be on the opposite side of the field. And as the female come out and get those guys jittery and running, they start running toward the solo male at the other end of the field. He roars and they go, uh-oh. They turn around and run back. Right into the trap of the hunters, right? Mm-hmm. So he told us, we want you to run to the roar, because if you go past the roar, you'll survive.
Mm.
Holy cow. So, you know, this idea of running to the roar, the enemy's a roaring lion, mm-hmm. seeking whom he may devour. But if you get past him, you're taking his territory.
That's right.
You know, we want to broach the gates of hell. Mm-hmm. Why should we be afraid to come in and try and take territory back from the enemy? Really, and so this is crazy. My, you know, sergeant is telling me these kind of things. So to go into the jungles of Burma is running toward the roar.
Yeah.
So and I good. Think Christians should run to the roar. He is a toothless lion that, you know, God, you know, we have victory.
That's right.
Over him. There's nothing formed mm-hmm. against us that can prosper, but we have to run to the roar.
That's
well,
right.
And we carry light, and all we're doing is going in the darkness. And if you're carrying light, you can't, darkness cannot consume you.
Nope. That's right.
And it, what a simple thing. I love mission trips.
Yeah,
and
I know.
I love them. But I can be honest, the dark areas, they go, you can't go there. You go there and you shine God's light in his love, and it's amazing how you're accepted. I can't remember. I'm more in danger when I go downtown shopping than I am in some of these backwoods,
agreed.
Miramar, or agreed. Even parts of Puerto Vallarta or Uganda. Or
when you were in Mafraq.
Yeah.
Mafraq right?
is dicey.
Well, and they still had ISIS flags.
Yeah.
Flying. It wasn't.
Dave Eubank gave me an ISIS flag.
Mm.
He took it out of Mosul. Oh, so I have an ISIS flag because that's when Reload Love began.
Yeah.
ISIS was the enemy. At its
pinnacle.
The big enemy.
Yeah.
And they were the darkness then.
Yeah. And I went, Lord, if those were my kids on Sinjar, those were my kids mm-hmm. in the Christian villages, mm-hmm. that I would want someone to do something to help them. And so Dave Eubank, so sweet in Mosul, took down a flag and brought it to me. Now Dave is next level. He
oh,
is
yeah.
special ops.
Yeah.
I can follow Dave into, but I'm not the guy with the gun taking the territory.
So Dave was 10th Special Forces.
Yes.
And in 89, I was in Bad Tolls, Germany at his camp when he was there.
Wow.
Which is such a cool
coincidence. No wonder you want to run through the jungle with him.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
No, they're a different level.
No.
Me, I hold the door open for guys like that.
Yeah, no.
Because they're he's a superhero. And so is his family, like you said.
Yeah. So going back to Mafraq, when you were saying, you know, you were in Mafraq, we built playgrounds mm-hmm. at that church
thing.
In Mafraq. Which part of Reload Love is counterintuitive, right? Mm-hmm. The weak mm. are strong, the humble are mm-hmm. exalted, the last are first. Yeah. And sometimes we do things in the kingdom of God that are counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. They're the opposite of how the world would function.
Mm.
And so because I had gone to Iraq, and quite honestly, when you go into terror zones, victims where there's IDPs, internally mm-hmm. displaced people, or refugees, someone who's come out of their country.
Right.
So the Syrians in Mafraq are refugees. But if you go in the country and they're displaced, they're IDPs. So you get to these places. There are a lot of organizations, NGOs, non-government organizations, 501c3s that come in, and some people exploit this opportunity to take pictures of kids and to say, here I am helping a kid, but then they leave.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you're like, were you exploiting them or helping them? Mm-hmm. So after our first couple trips in on these things, I went, I don't want to be this person. Mm-hmm. I don't want to come here for a photo op. And so I was praying, Lord, what can we do that helps them further? And I got the idea of playground. We should build playgrounds. Now, who on earth says I'm going to go into a war zone and build a playground? I mean, that's as counterintuitive as
you get. Well, when you first came
up
with it, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Until you go and you actually experience it and you see the change in the culture and the people and the children.
See, for me as a mother, I think what an amazing place of healing for a mother and her child to be able to go and have community and talk with other people that are living the exact same life that you're living. And what better way to, I mean, you can't just go speak with a therapist or go talk to your pastor if they've all been run out of town, you know? So you have that person that you're linking arms with and your children can feel normal.
It's getting back to your comment of neuroplasticity. Mm-hmm.
It is.
A child that's impacted by trauma. Mm. The best thing you can do as quickly as possible is provide normalcy.
That's right.
That you want to give them a soccer field, a box of crayons, a Lego set, a playground, something that gets them back in touch
That's right.
with just being a child.
That's right. Imagination, creativity,
exactly.
those things.
And then just the movement. Think about
That's right.
it. in the playgrounds, the favorite thing, hands down, no matter where you go, is the swing.
Of course.
The swing.
It's rocking.
Exactly.
It's rocking.
You are rocking a child without being able, don't you want to just die?
Yes.
That child is being rocked and moved and having the opportunity to do those things. So Dave Eubank, when I came to him and I said, I want to build playgrounds, same kind of thing as you, like, playgrounds? And he goes, okay. So if I provide him a playground, he goes into Mosul and puts the playground in, or into Syria and puts the playground in. That if I provide Dave's advance team the things that I does. And he said, at first, I didn't get it. And he goes, but then when you put one up, he says, it's like Dr. Seuss Village. The kids come from everywhere. He goes, there's so many kids on them, you'd think they'll fall over.
And the moms.
Yes.
The moms are there. So I want the listeners to know this. So you go... Moff Rock. It's one of my favorite places on earth. It really is. But it's dirty and it's nasty and there's garbage, and so you get it. And then you see a man, and then his wife, who is walking 10 feet behind him, 5 feet behind him. And the only reason she left the house is because she's with him.
That's or her son.
Or her son. But when you put up these playgrounds, she can go. And she meets with other women who are in the same circumstances, and they get to share their hearts. They get to have their therapy, and their world changes, and it opens up. It opens up a time of peace and a time that they're not being controlled, and their kids are having fun. And you put these things where everyone can get to them, but you also put them where they're overseen by other people. Not that they're not going to get wrecked at some point if we were invaded, but truthfully, they're safe places.
Yeah.
And, man, I wish that the listener could just go into my brain and see what I saw, because it's emotional. And what can a swing do? You put those kids on that swing and their smiles. I'll post a couple. Am I allowed to post them yet?
Of course, anything.
Well, at the time, we couldn't post because they're...
Yeah, no.
But it's been a long time. But it's amazing in the joy. You guys will see it.
Yeah, Pastor Knorr. We partnered with Pastor Knorr, who has a church there, and he's very, very careful. You're right. He doesn't let you post things because during that time, the Syrian war was still pretty thick, and ISIS was still pretty
thick. And we want to honor that when we go on these things. We want to honor what they tell us.
But so we planted a couple of playgrounds near him at his place. The kids can come. The kids then can have a program, like a Sunday school program with coloring and stuff. And then, you're right, in the Arab cultures, and especially some of the more orthodox or intense Arab cultures, women wear their whole burqa and have to be covered. They can't leave home without a male escort, even if it is a son. And so this church was offering health programs for the women. So the husbands would go, go get healthy, go get an exam, whatever, would let the women come out.
Right.
And so the women could come, the children could play, and it built an environment for them, post-traumatic stress, to be able to take care of them.
And safe.
And
they probably felt safe also, which is huge for someone that's dealing with, you know, watching someone that they love die in front of them.
Well, let's just use an example. When we went to the health program and these women came in their burqas and they made bread and food and, you know, were there to welcome us. Once we got there, they took their scarves off because it was just women. So now they're letting you see them, their real selves, right? They're sitting around talking. They're providing you hospitality.
Wow.
So now you are the lesser. They are the one that's extending. You're giving them
so power beautiful
as, you know, to be that person. And they start to tell their stories. You know, I'll just say, what would you like women in America to know about, you know, Syrian women? And so then they just open right up. And one gal wanted to tell us that Syria was so bad at this point. You know, people were trying to eat grass. There was nothing in Syria. I mean, it was just carnage. You can't even understand the desperate state of war. And you can't trust anyone, they said. Right. You couldn't even trust your neighbors because your neighbors would rat you out for food, for anything, and, you know, cast aspersions upon you just to, you know, get a little power. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, you can't let your kids out. And one day this woman, her two sons were crossing their neighborhood, and one son was shot and died, and the other son survived. And she got him out of Syria, five clicks away, into Moff Rock. And the son still had head ticks and was still not talking because of the trauma that he had experienced. Mm-hmm. You bring him out to a safe space where he can play on a playground and color with other kids, and mom can be in a health program where she's being taken care of. There is hope, right?
There is.
There's a chance. There is. And the playgrounds that we put up, no matter where we put them up, we put a little sign, and it says in their language and in English, "Let the little children come to me, Jesus." So the neuroplasticity, what you're saying to their head is, you know, if America's the great Satan and Israel's the little Satan, in English and in their language, it says Jesus, and he wants little children to come to them. It's a thought that they're like, what the Christians, they love children? Mm-hmm. They want to help children? It's just a beginning of a of a thought.
That's right.
That maybe the world isn't as they thought it was. That's maybe what they're learning in Gaza is not true.
That's right.
Maybe there's this different paradigm that I didn't know existed, and there's a chance. Normalcy, then you can acknowledge the problems that have happened to them. In acknowledging them, it wasn't your fault. You're not a bad kid.
That's right.
They're not killing you because you're bad.
Yeah.
They're bad people.
They're resilient children. And when they, I was working on a cabinet with all my little tools, right, that came with it. And this little kid kept coming in and taking my tools. So I think here in America, kids can be kind of scared of me if I do it right. And I got really gruff, and I grab him by the arm, and I get in his face, and I'm not even going to do it on the air, but I was pretty gruff with him. And the kid jerked his hand away, kept the tool in the hand, reached out with his other hand, took a tool, and left. And the lady, the lady who was really in charge of all of us, looked at me and laughed, and she says, "He ain't afraid of you." And this little boy had a scar on his chest where shrapnel had landed and burned him.
Yeah.
And he's my favorite little kid.
Yeah.
I had to go get my tools back because I couldn't finish my work. But the safety that organizations that you support and your playground support raise children like that, and he knows that he is loved. And, you know, the other really amazing thing is you don't require the children to be Christians to give them.
That's right.
You love them and give them the opportunity to become Christians.
That's right.
And that's a big deal, because anywhere else that I've traveled, you get this if you do that. You, Reload Love, gives and gives opportunity.
Yeah.
Because we love them. And that little boy, you know, is going to grow up and be a reckoning against the people who hurt him, hurt his mother, and a force for good.
And he'll know who helped him, too.
Yeah. He does know.
He knows who hurt him, but he also knows
he
who
also sung
him.
The loudest. And you know what? He was never afraid of anything, because he came from a place where if you guys can't do anything compared to where I came from. But he was, and there's hundreds of kids like that, thousands of kids like that, that Reload Love
worldwide
has impacted.
Yeah, we were in Ukraine in May.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I was in Israel in December. Mm-hmm. So I have been underneath the Iron Dome in Ukraine, where we had to go to seek shelter. And then we were under Israel's Iron Dome.
And she calls herself Barbie. I'm calling BS.
I love it. Well, what else I love about you, Tulenya, is you don't just talk it, you walk it. You could easily just send people. You could easily just get a team like Clay, who would love to go to all of these wonderful places and love on people, but you choose to go out and do it. And you foster that in your women's ministry. And I get the pleasure of serving on a committee with you and absolutely love what you're bringing to that table. And that is not just about us ladies at our age. It really and truly is about the generations. We are looking at, you know, when we talk about neuroplasticity, when we talk about, you know, loving children and teaching them love, because if you can teach them hate, you can teach them love. And that is exactly what Sheology Ministries is doing, and welcoming people into your home. You know, we have folks come over. We have an open door policy. Kids can come, neighborhood kids, whatever. And we notice that children that come from the worst places are often sad in our house because they'll make a comparison.
Oh, right.
And it's really crazy, because I'll tell Clay, I'm like, you know, I wonder what that is, but it's because they're comparing. And we always say, it's not this or that. you get this and this. You get both.
Right.
So you don't have to choose between the two. Well, what if we had this at our house? Well, you have this here.
Right.
You know, if that doesn't happen at your house, when you grow up, you can make that your house.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, and I think that, you know, with the ministry, the women's ministry itself is just really encouraging to see, you know, our leader, you know, air quotes, but you are. And the way that you lead is just so beautiful and so fearless. And it really empowers women like me who, you know, I'm a mom. I've been in my, you know, stay-at-home mom Christian bubble for the last 20-something years. You know, God blesses with kids. And
my wife is fierce. Don't let her fool you.
I was going to say, there's no bubble she's living in.
There's no goddamn bubble.
Well, but you know,
I appreciate that.
It's one of those things where one day I did have to wake up and just say, wait a minute. You know, God has me in this place of shelter and greenhouse with these small children. But then when he opened that door and said, welcome more, it was like, oh, well, if Lena can do it, I can do it. I mean, she's going all over the world. And I mean, it really does give women like me courage that where I'm planted, I can serve. I can love. I can do the exact same things. Sometimes I do need a helmet and a vest in my own house. But, you know, when I think about it, I'm just like, golly, you've really covered the bases. You know, God has really gifted you with, I'm not just going to say it, I'm going to do it. And I appreciate that so much in my life. And it has been such a driving force in my walk with the Lord, knowing that don't just talk it, walk it.
Isn't it great as women to be for women?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a novel thought.
Ugh.
To not compete,
no.
To not be catty, mm-hmm. To not gossip, to whatever it is, to give other women permission to soar.
That's right.
To thrive.
That's right.
To break stereotypes. Mm-hmm. To be all that God has called you to be wherever you are.
That's right.
And to cheer for it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's what we hope happens in Sheology.
Yes.
Is that, you know, one of our axioms is we have your back.
That's
you
right.
Know, we don't stab you in the back. We have
that's
your
right.
back. And we don't call you out. We call you up.
Mm-hmm.
And providing an atmosphere that gives women the opportunity to go wherever
that's
God
right.
calls them to go.
That's right. And to go with if we have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that. I see that with you. I see that with Janae. Mm-hmm. I see that with your son. I mean, with Nathan. And we absolutely love doing ministry with you guys. We love doing life with you guys.
Likewise.
And we are just so excited for 2024 with what Reload Love, what Sheology, all the things.
Yeah.
I mean, we could literally interview you for 4 hours and still not even scratch the surface of the enigma of Lenya Heitzig.
What's happening next?
So we have a love bomb coming up on the weekend around
Valentine's. Tell our listeners what a love bomb
Valentine's.
Is.
Valentine's. It's a virtual fundraiser where we create a ridiculous goal that is unattainable in our own flesh and find places and people that we think God wants to shine his love. Last mm-hmm. year, we raised almost $250,000 to provide 500,000 meals that we took to Ukraine
yep.
and Uganda. And we're able to deliver them, you know, food crisis, Ukraine, obviously post-war, the people are starving, and that's why we went to Ukraine. This year, we are focusing on the Middle East, and we're coalescing what that looks like. When I was in Israel, I was looking for where we can bring help in the Middle East. One place that really stood out to me was Sderot, this town. And I'm just hoping we can come alongside the pastor and his wife to love that community and to do some things. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. We have helped Joshua Fund with quite a lot of money already.
And tell us what that is.
Joshua Fund is Joel Rosenberg's ministry that is working in the Middle East. And people who ran for their lives in the South during October 7th ran with nothing. There are hundreds of thousands of IDPs, internally displaced people, in Israel. Mm. They're living in hotels. And that might sound, oh, how luxurious that you get kicked out of your kibbutz. You picture putting your family in a hotel room.
Absolutely
and
not.
And see how long you people can thrive.
I can't even tell you the last time we stayed in a hotel. We cannot.
No, because you can't feed them. Mm-hmm. You can't school them. You can't discipline them.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things once you get out of your environment. So just trying to provide food, clothing, purchasing, you know, hygiene supplies right. and things like that. So some of that has gone toward that. Also, we're working, making pathways now with an organization called NOVA, and they have people at the bridge at Egypt and Gaza that they're trying to provide water and packages and things in. So we're like, how could we get to the Palestinians, not just the Israelis? How can we provide and make inroads? So we've met this organization that's right there at that bridge. And also, they have a main office in Lebanon. Oh, wow. So one of their main offices is in Lebanon, and they're trying to provide for people. Hezbollah is in the West Bank. And so... Hezbollah looks different than Hamas. They're both bad actors. They're terrorist organizations that are sponsored by Iran. And then you have the Houthis in Yemen. So these are three of the terrorist organizations that are state-sponsored by Iran that are in countries surrounding Israel to just wreak havoc. So in Lebanon, which is where the Hezbollah is, there are displaced people in Lebanon that can't be in that border area because there are rockets going back and forth. And so we are trying to partner with them to get some help into Lebanon. So when you say we are no respecters of persons, religions, nations, politics, whatever it is, we're always looking for a partner who's already doing what we want to do, but they just don't have the financing to do it in a robust way. So we try and find a partner and say, how can we help you do what you're already doing better? What else do you need?
Genius.
And so right now we're working our way into Lebanon, into Egypt, and hopefully into Israel so that we can be partnering in that way. So we're really close. I just had a meeting yesterday with the Reload Love team, and it looks like that's coalescing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things fall through. It doesn't work the way you had hoped it would.
Other doors open.
Yes, exactly.
Just so our listeners know, if you gave a dollar, 100% of that goes to the mission at hand.
Yeah.
As an organization, me and Michelle only do our mission trips where they're basically you guys have already given us thumbs up. So we team with people who are already approved because you guys go to great lengths to make sure that the people you're working with, that the resources go to where they say they're going.
Yes.
Which is just
we're
huge.
Blessed because the church provides the salaries and the offices and the computers for Reload Love so that we can do that. Mm-hmm. So right now we're blessed to be able to do that. Not every organization can give 100%, and we may not always be able to give 100%. I mean, there could come a time where we're like, 10% has to cover overhead. Mm-hmm. That's just normal.
Yeah.
Well, that's overhead.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
A lot of people have enormous salaries.
Yes.
Or a lot. 10 cents of every dollar makes it to the child, and that's
right.
not the case.
No, it's
so
not.
Whatever it is in the future, you guys have been
100%,
transparent with what you do.
Yeah.
Hey, if you could talk to the whole world all at once, rich of rich, poor of poor, and ask or tell everybody something from the lioness Linya, what would you tell them?
I guess I'll go to Joshua, be strong and courageous, because we live in troubled times. And, you know, we feel like we're getting close to the end, right? Mm-hmm. Having just been in Israel, and I got to be a fly on the wall and talk to some really important Israeli people, Danny Dannon, who is in important places, as well as Gideon, who came, and they were telling us all the underpinnings of what's happening on a geopolitical realm. And, you know, we talk about the end times, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. That's always happened, right? But we're looking for certain things as Christians. And the certain things we're looking for, if you look at Ezekiel 37, is when China and Russia coalesces with Iran and Turkey, we're in trouble. And we're right there on the precipice. You know, Putin is being provided rockets and missiles from Iran. When we were in Ukraine, in Kyiv, there hadn't been a lot of missile strikes for quite some time. The week we got there, they had just been resupplied from Iran. And that's why we ended up in bunkers, is because they were sending in missiles. That's part of terror. You never know when it
hits.
That's right. So I would just say to all of us, we don't know who's coming across our borders. You know, as the United States, wherever you are in the world, you may not be in the United States, you may be wherever you are not safe
right.
from the wrath that's coming. The enemy is strong, and he's going to give one last kick before, you know, the Christians go home and the millennial kingdom begins. So I would say be strong and courageous. Yeah. You know, bolster yourself in your faith. Mm. You know, strengthen yourself with all might in the inner man, that you know the height, depth, breadth, width of the love of God, and that you are rooted and grounded in faith.
So good.
Because your life's going to get real.
Yeah.
It's going to get real, and it may not be easy, and it hasn't been easy for Christians historically, right?
Right.
There have been all kinds of seasons. So I would say to the listeners, be strong and courageous, and then love conquers all, right? Love conquers evil. And maybe terror's the problem. Maybe Putin's the problem. Maybe Iran's the problem. I don't know who it is, but I know that God is the answer, and
That's love, right.
Is the answer. And God's love does conquer all. So in your strength and the power of your might, you know, put on the armor of God and then just use that sword of the Spirit and do all the damage you can to darkness, because there's going to come a time that there's nothing more you can do. We're going to be in heaven, right?
That's right.
So fight while you got it. Love while you got it. Do everything you can while you still can lay up treasures in heaven.
That's right.
And get busy.
Yeah.
Get busy with the business of the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. And the time, you know, time is well past. And so now we need to now redeem the time.
Time. That's right.
Yeah.
The lioness, Linja Heitzig. And what a pleasure to have her
yes,
on.
Yes. Thank you so much, Linja.
Thank you for having me.
Today's episode was brought to you by Desert Sage Doodles. Ethical dog breeding, bringing you a family member, not just a pet. Check it out. DesertSageDoodles.com.